Well, hey everyone, thank you for joining us here at Mercy Talk. I am Jen Otero.
And I'm Melanie Wise, and we're really excited that you've joined us this week. If you followed Mercy Talk last month, we covered quite a few different topics on how to be a healthy helper. And this month, we're going to be moving into a new series focusing on specific hindrances that can come in that really hinder your ability to help people. And so we're going to cover a few of the kind of big ones that we have seen pretty regularly ourselves, but also that we know are just really common things out there. And we just kind of want to hit on each of those and also talk about just ways that you can kind of help shift people out of those places so that you can really become an effective helper. And so that's kind of where we're headed this month.
Mm-hmm. So today specifically, we're going to be focusing on really facing that lack of ownership. I know that as a helper, as a counselor, I've hit those points with people that they may want the healing, but they're not really sure they're willing to really buy fully in. They're not fully taking ownership of their healing process. And there's a lot of frustration that can come as a helper because you can't cause someone to choose it. And so really that's what we're going to be focusing on today and how to help someone shift out of that and how to be someone that, you know, how do I handle this when someone isn't taking ownership of their own healing? So really, a lack of ownership typically can be seen in two ways. The first one is that they don't acknowledge the problem whatsoever, which if you have someone that you're trying to help who is not acknowledging their problems, you may want to really think that through.
You're not going to get this far.
Exactly. Because often there's that reality of that self-awareness that is not something everybody carries at certain seasons of their life. I know most of the time, if you really think about the people that you're helping, you have a different clarity. You have a different vantage point into people's lives. And so there's something that you're able to look in and go, oh my gosh, that's so something they need to work on. But it's just not that easy in our own world, isn't it? When you're super close to something, sometimes it can just be hard to really acknowledge and to recognize the things that you need to work through. And so that's number one that we often see is that they don't acknowledge that there's a problem. Or really, as I just said, that they're not willing to take responsibility or ownership of their healing. And I know, Mel, you have talked lots and lots in past times of just what it looks like to get pulled into those relationships where you want it for someone more than they want it for themselves, and how detrimental and difficult that can end up being, not just for the person you're trying to help, but all the more for you as the helper. Because like we've said, you can't choose for people. You can only be aware and, you know, ready to help, but they've got to make that decision.
Yeah, I mean, both of those things that you just mentioned can be so frustrating because, you know, I mean, for those of you out there who do help others, I mean, you probably have a really, really big heart for people. And so when you see something in somebody else's life and you're like, oh, I'm going to help them get out of that. If they don't see that for themselves or they are not willing to take that responsibility, that can just be really, really frustrating for you because you have a heart to help, but they aren't in a place where they're ready or willing or able to receive that help. And so it can just be really, really frustrating. And also what can happen is that you end up trying to do it for them. And so that ends up being extremely overwhelming and it doesn't actually get you anywhere. So you end up tired, worn out, and frustrated. They don't end up helped because they weren't willing to do their part. And so we got really nowhere except for really tired and frustrated and overwhelmed. And so, you know, one of the things that we say a lot in our Empower workshops is that you cannot work harder than the person you are helping is willing to work. At whatever point you sense in that relationship, you know what? I think I want this for them more than they want it for themselves. That's a really good indicator to you that something is a little off and that you may need to kind of press pause on that relationship at that level and you know, really ask some of those tough questions of like, man, where are we here? I feel like I'm kind of trying to like pull you into a certain place. And so I know for me personally, I felt like, I love to tell on myself a lot, but when I was in youth ministry, there were a lot of circumstances where I could clearly see an issue in a girl's life. And I felt like it was not only my responsibility to somehow get her to see it as well, but then also to be the one to pull her out of that, whatever it was. And that in and of itself was codependency on my part, you know? And I think that there was a part of me that needed to learn how to set some really healthy boundaries and knowing that you cannot do it for them. You cannot even work harder than they are willing to work. And at whatever point you sense you're trying to pull them or do it for them, that is definitely a time to hit pause. So, you know, that's just, that's kind of, I think, one of the things that we like to say is mm-hmm. really a good thing to focus on is that when I sense I am doing it more than they are, then we're not going to get anywhere.
Yeah.
So that's just a good stopping point.
And, you know, we don't want to ever come across in these conversations that this is easy. You know? And I think of even just a recent Empower that we had someone come up and just was really talking about a specific person in their world mm-hmm. that they cared so much about. They'd been in relationship with for quite a few years. They had prayed. They'd seen some moments where they had overcome. There was some moments along the way that they really struggled. And they had just really hit a point where they are not moving. Mm-hmm. They are not doing what they need to do. I'm chasing them down. I'm making coffee appointments. They're not showing up. Like, it had gotten to the point where they knew that they knew what they needed to do, mm-hmm. but there was such a place of just frustration and difficulty because they cared so much about this
right.
person. And in this situation, they had been in long-term relationship with them. So it wasn't just, hey, I met you 2 weeks ago and you're not doing what you need to do. Like,
sure.
I am actually really in deep relationship with you. What do I do? And so really giving, I think sometimes there's just a power in having permission to say, you know mm-hmm. what? I'm going to step back and begin to let you deal with the consequences of not choosing. I'm going to love you enough to step back. And if that means you have to hit rock bottom, mm-hmm. if that means you have to start dealing with some of the consequences of not choosing the healing and the wholeness and the resources and the time and the attention that I am willing to give you, then I love you enough to begin to let you.
Mm-hmm.
Face plant if that's what needs to happen.
Right.
And I think for a lot of us, especially if you have that mercy gift, that sounds cruel.
Yeah.
That sounds really mean. It sounds harsh. But as we've talked many, many times, you look in scripture, Jesus walked away from people.
Mm-hmm.
He allowed them to walk away and choose. It wasn't something that he chased them down and tried to shake them into taking ownership of things. You know, he was very, very good about mm-hmm. giving opportunity, sharing truth, and then letting them choose what they were going to do with it.
Right.
And so that to me is perfect permission as a healthy helper to say, oh my goodness, I'm beginning to get burnout and worn out in this situation. And the most loving thing I can do is to let you begin to deal with the consequences yeah. of not choosing.
Well, and you know, I think too about how in so many of those circumstances, I personally wrestled with just the idea of if I set this boundary
mm-hmm.
and I say that, you know, I'm not going to be able to do this for you mm-hmm. or I don't feel like you're invested in this and have to step away a little bit. What I was afraid that was going to communicate to them was that I was giving up on them.
Right.
And so I was like, well, I don't want them to think that. Like, I'm scared of them feeling that. So instead, I just kept going.
Mm-hmm.
And it was madness because it was like, we're not getting anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
They're not getting the help that they need. And what you desire for them isn't actually happening by
yeah.
you sticking around with them not owning it. Like,
mm-hmm.
it wasn't getting us anywhere. And so I think sometimes it's just even realizing, like, I can stay in this and keep trying and keep pushing and keep trying mm-hmm. and keep pushing, but the end result is never going to be what my heart's desire is if this is the way this relationship
totally.
Stays. And so there's also just that place of realizing it's going to be a hard conversation. It
mm-hmm.
won't be easy. But I think there's also a place for saying, listen, I'm not giving up on you.
Right.
I'm going to keep praying for you. I'm believing for great things for you.
Mm-hmm.
But until you can believe it and desire it for yourself, I don't know that there's going to be a lot that I'm going to be able to do to help.
Absolutely.
And so I want you to know I'm still here for you. And whenever you do get to that point, I will be so willing to be able to
mm-hmm.
step back into this with you and help. But I need to know that that's where you are before. So it's not like I'm out of here.
Right.
I don't want to talk to you anymore. Don't tell me about your problems anymore. I've given
yeah.
up on this. This isn't going to work. Like, it's more just saying, like, until you are here,
mm-hmm.
there's not going to be a lot that I'm going to be able to do to help.
Yeah. And we'll talk about this in future weeks, but there is that place too of us understanding as the healthy helpers
mm-hmm.
that we don't pick up false responsibility
mm-hmm.
for people. At the end of the day, I'm not Holy Spirit Junior. I am not God. I cannot change one inch of your life through my own power and ability.
Yep.
It's all through the Lord. And so if we get so tied into these relationships where we begin to take on this responsibility that's not ours,
mm-hmm.
it's not healthy for them or us. In fact, it really hinders what God wants to do, because as a good loving Father, sometimes he allows us to face plant to be able to learn what we need to learn and to really get on board. And so there is that place too of being really mindful to be willing to surrender these relationships and to realize, you know what, maybe I've sowed into this person what my responsibility and my calling was
yeah.
in this season. And if I continue to tie into this relationship and try to move it forward and help them take ownership, I may very well be getting in the way of someone that's around the corner that carries something God has called them to sow into
mm-hmm.
this person's life. I would often think about that at seasons where maybe a counseling relationship didn't go as long as I thought, or I didn't see what they got what I thought maybe was on the agenda. But then I would talk to them a year or two later and go, oh my gosh, they ended up connecting with a different counselor that had something to pour into them that I didn't carry as well. Or maybe they got a mentor or someone in their life that had what I didn't have in that season that they needed.
Right.
And it's so amazing to see the tapestry of what God sews together when we're willing to be spirit-led and obedient and willing to get out of the way sometimes and really allow people to move forward in a place of choosing to take ownership.
Yeah.
And you said it, having that conversation, by no means are we saying just bail on folks, but there is something to be said about, hey, this is what I'm seeing and I'm in this and I care about you and I want this for you, but I'm not seeing you do what you need to do. So if you're not willing, that's okay. I get it. This whole thing is not easy, but I can't continue to sow my life and my time and my resource into something that is not bringing any fruit for you or for me.
Right. Well, you know, I think it would be good probably for us to break down just some practical things that you can do when you find yourself in this situation. And, you know, one of the ones that I think may come across as just super cliche, but oh my goodness, it's vital to this whole piece, is literally being able to truly surrender this thing and to just lay it before the Lord. Because I am amazed how many times, even my own experience, I can only imagine for you, Jen, as through all of your counseling, just how many times maybe you have been trying to communicate something to someone or get them to get something.
Right.
Like, come on, just get this. Like, and you're trying so hard to push it into them. But all of a sudden, as soon as the Lord does it, it's like, what? I've been trying to communicate this to you for months and try to get you to get this. But then the Lord does it. And all of a sudden, it's just like easy peasy. Like now it's all of a sudden, I'm just amazed at how many times that's happened. Whenever I let the Lord do his thing, he doesn't always do it as quickly as I want him to do it.
Right.
But he does it fully, he does it wholly, and it really sinks into their heart and soul in a way that would never probably happen if it came from me.
Exactly.
And so a lot of this is just really praying, like being in a place of constant prayer for those people, that there would be revelation, that there would be breakthrough, that the Lord would do the thing that only he can do, literally only he can do. And being able to just kind of lay that down in prayer is truly probably the most powerful thing that you can do for those, for people who are in that position.
Yeah. And really after you've prayed through it, typically at that point, when you recognize someone is not taking ownership and they're not intending to in this season, really at that next step, like we said, is setting those healthy boundaries. And I would encourage folks too, sometimes it may take a conversation with your own mentor or maybe someone in your church or a close friend to say, hey, help me walk this through what this would look like. Sometimes as silly as it sounds, it may even be down to role playing. Like, I need you to sit there like you're this person so that I can walk through what this conversation looks like on my part. Especially if it's not something you've talked through before, or you feel like, gosh, this is a boundary I've had to set in the past. As silly as that sounds, sometimes there's that place of processing it for yourself in prayer, but also with godly counsel, people that you trust. So then you can walk into that conversation feeling confident and spirit-led, knowing that you are on track with what God's asking of you in this season. And then trusting that person in his hands, because ultimately God's got it. He is fully capable and aware of everything that person needs. Even if you aren't the one that's able to meet those needs right now, that's okay. God's got it. He hasn't fallen off his throne. He's fully capable to handle the situation. Yeah. So as you set those boundaries, but also let them know, hey, I'm praying for you, like you said, and I am here. If and when you position yourself in a time and a space that you're ready to walk into a place of healing, I am here for you. And if it hits a season where I'm not able anymore, I will be sure to connect you with people that are. And so they know that they're not suddenly cut off, that there are resources and opportunities still available for them if and when, hopefully when, they choose to move forward.
Yeah, that's really good. You know, another thing that I think is really important with this that I experienced quite a bit is knowing then how you can, when you do set those boundaries in situations like that, that then frees you up to actually be able to focus on people who really are in a place of desiring help. And I've said this a lot, even in our workshops, like sometimes it's hard for me when I look back and I think of people that I tried so hard to get them to get something. And I invested so much time and so much energy into certain individuals who were not ready and were not willing to own. It's hard for me not to sometimes think back and be like, man, I wonder who I missed because I was investing in people who weren't ready and who was ready that I missed. And, you know, I know, like, I have to release that to the Lord, too, totally. And know that he's going to send people into their life and he's going to do, you know, their purpose. His purpose for them is still going to come into fulfillment. But, like, I do have to wonder sometimes, like, man, who did I miss because of that? And so whenever you are able to surrender and set those boundaries, that then frees you up to really focus in on people who are wanting help and needing help and ready for help that you can really invest in wisely. Mm-hmm. And so that's just another practical piece of that. And, you know, I think one of the most important things to remember is that when you do surrender and when you do pray and you do lay them before the Lord, there's a chance that you may or may not actually ever see that breakthrough happen in their life. But when you know that you have done your part, like you can rest well, you can sleep well, you can have peace knowing that like I carried my part. I sowed the seeds that I was supposed to sow. And someone else may be the one who gets to go in and water and somebody else may actually ever get to see that fruit come out. But I did my part. And then you can rest in peace with that, knowing that you may or may not ever actually see the fruit. So I think that's just kind of one piece to always be reminded of.
And I would really say the last thought that comes to mind, I think especially if it's a brand new relationship, is I know every time I have an initial session with someone, we talk through what are your goals? What do you want to see happen? What are you ready to work on? What are you not? Like, I think sometimes there's just that place of being really straightforward when you first start meeting with someone, where then they're in a position where they are positioned to process what do I want from this relationship? What do I want to work on in this season? Then everybody's on the same page and you're not running off with all of this expectation or this idea of what it needs to look like. Then you come 6 months into the relationship going, oh, you're not, no. Oh, sometimes as simple as it sounds, I would say that that's even one of my last thoughts on that is that you have that conversation on the front end, as silly as it sounds, but to really go, what are you wanting in this season? Mm-hmm. What do you want to overcome? What are you ready to deal with? Because understanding that it's a strength to strength and a glory to glory, we're not always ready in every season to deal with everything. Mm-hmm. I know I'm not. I know there's still things I'm working on in my life. But 10 years ago, I wasn't even aware of. A year ago, maybe. Do you see what I'm saying? So understanding what does this season hold? What are they ready to take ownership over?
Yeah.
And really work from those things. That's and if good. There's nothing, then listen to this podcast again and put some of this stuff to work. Because I really think there's a reality of, you know, meeting people where they're at and recognizing and helping them to recognize what they're ready to take ownership over.
Yeah, absolutely. Jen, what you were just sharing just made me think of one last thing. You know, I found myself in a lot of circumstances where, you know, there was somebody who I knew inside, like, they are not ready to own their things. Mm-hmm. They are not ready to take responsibility and do what they need to do with the certain issues that they're dealing with. But they wanted to keep coming to me.
Right.
Now, granted, I've already said I didn't do a good job of setting good boundaries. So that was probably half my problem. But another piece was just knowing, like, what do you do in a situation where you've maybe set a boundary with somebody, but that's somebody like we've talked a lot in our, about counseling settings or even sometimes here at Mercy. But like, what if it's somebody that's just in your everyday life? It's somebody that you go to church with. So on Sunday morning, you're going to see that person.
Right.
Maybe you've had that conversation about setting the boundaries, but you can see that look in their eyes when they see you and they come towards you like, oh no, they want to start pouring all that out again to me. But I also know that they're not ready to own it and take responsibility for their part. They just want to be able to talk and vent about it and pour that and kind of
complain.
Bring me back into that place. And so what would be your advice for people in scenarios like that?
Yeah. And that's a hard one.
Yeah.
Because as we often talk about, you come from more of the church background and I come from the counseling, where when a counseling session is done and we have decided, okay, you're not willing to go any further. I pray for you. I bless you. But this relationship is now done for now. It's much different because I don't see them on Sunday mornings. I don't see them mowing their lawn. Like, you just don't run into folks in the same way that you do when you work in a church setting. Or I even think in Mercy, how often I would have a girl that even I was counseling or that maybe really connected with me that wasn't on my caseload that did want to try to seek me out a lot, even after you set the initial boundary. And so honestly, it really comes down to having probably an even stronger conversation that may even include bringing someone else in on that conversation and really letting them know, hey, I care about you, but this is the theme that I'm seeing. I see you coming to me and seeking me out an awful lot to complain, to talk through things, to really try to process but you're not willing to position yourself to really heal from this or to really deal with this. And so I care enough about you to let you know that I'm not going to continue to position myself in these long, drawn out conversations. I will hear you out for a minute. I will pray for you. But then you need to understand I'm going to start cutting these conversations down. Because what that does is it sets the boundary, but it also helps them to know ahead of time, this is how I'm going to respond to the situation when it comes up.
Yeah.
So you're not surprised and you don't have any reason or real realm to be offended or hurt by what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Now, that sounds, once again, easier said than done.
Yeah.
And ultimately, there's that place of, I'm just a big believer in always being really straightforward and communicative about stuff. I mean, another option is continuing just to give them the nonverbals that you're not necessarily running across the room, but there's something to be said about you are much more short in your conversation. You do pray for them. Sometimes people need a little bit of that as well, where they start to pick up the social cues of, well, Melanie's not as available or open to me as she was maybe in the past. So that's something that they start to pick up on, those cues.
Right.
I would say the other thing to really pray about too is there someone else? Maybe there's a mama in the church or somebody that they could really be connected with that is more capable and in a position to maybe hear them out. If it's not just someone who's complaining, but really is in a season that they need to kind of vent and talk through things, but they're not really ready to go into a healing process. I think there's something to be said about really praying that through and asking the Lord, okay, God, how do I best handle this situation? And making sure that you're bringing in leadership and people are aware so that you have your backing, especially, especially if you're on a church staff. Because there's just a lot of dynamics that go into that that are just not very easy. It's not black and white. So,
yeah, that's really good. And I'm going to be honest, if you had told me that whenever I was in those positions, I'd be like, I could never do that. That just sounds so mean. I would never be able to say that to somebody. But truly, at the end of the day, the alternative to that is that you get back into that place and you end up frustrated and you end up overwhelmed and you end up constantly holding something that you're not supposed to hold and they don't get helped. So like like it's a hard conversation. It's not fun, but the alternative is worse.
Yep.
And it doesn't do anybody good and doesn't help them at all. So it truly, it's one of those things where it is kind of that tough love. It is that place of like, this is actually, I know not, and like, you don't want to hear this. This is hard, but this is the best way for me to love you right now.
And I honestly, as I'm sitting here, can't think of a time where I lovingly but very strongly and clearly set a boundary where later on they weren't thanking me for it. Do you know what I'm saying? Where they didn't learn from it or it didn't position them in a place to go, oh gosh, were they mad maybe at first? I mean, this boundaries don't harm, but they do hurt. Like they're very, it's not comfortable. People do not like having boundaries set. But long term, you'll never harm someone through them. Does that make
That's
sense?
Really good.
So just continuing to remember that there's purpose in that, and that long term, what it, my job in this situation is to make sure I'm taken care of well. That's not selfish, but it's also setting a really good standard for you as the person who's still trying to work through some things, to understand you can't just bulldoze people because you have a lot going on in your world, especially if you're not taking ownership of it.
Right. It's really good. Man, I feel like we could go on and on about this one. But this is a really, really, this is a big one. And I mean, this is one that can really burn somebody out really quickly if they don't understand it and practice it. And, you know, I definitely kind of had to learn it the hard way. And so I'm definitely very passionate about communicating this to people. And, you know, this is just one of a few different hindrances that we're going to discuss this month, but we also really kind of break some of these down at our Empower workshops that we do here at Mercy. And we are really excited that we're going to be taking these workshops to a couple of our other cities this year, where we have Mercy Homes. We're going to be taking it to Monroe, Louisiana and Sacramento, California. And we're going to have, I don't know if we have any of those dates setting up on the website quite yet, but we do have our Nashville, our next Nashville workshop set up on the website. You will find the dates July 15th and 16th is the Empower workshop. Our Guidelines workshop is July 14th. So if you are considering starting a residential program yourself, our Guidelines workshop kind of breaks down the process of setting up something like that. But then our Empower workshop on Friday and Saturday, the 15th and 16th of July, we will be talking about this and many, 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 many other topics, but just all the different things that we can try to do to help equip you and empower you as you go out and help others. And so we would love to have you as part of those. That's truly one of our favorite things that we get to do here. And so you can actually sign up on mercymultiplied.com and get information about the workshops there. So we would love to see you. And then also we just encourage you to stick around for the rest of this month. We're going to be covering other topics on hindrances and helping people. So we hope to see you next week.